Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Alison.
Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. So can you tell us a little bit about what inspired the creator, Stephen Rickles, is how you pronounce his name, and to kind of create this exhibit, what his thought process was, or his artistic process
was? Yeah, sure. So Stefan's been, he's actually a Berlin-based German curator, which is pretty interesting because we're a gallery in Sydney. We're talking about Japanese content and working with a German curator on this project. So it is quite international. He's had a really long relationship with Japan and has had Japan as a research interest for over a decade. And his previous exhibition, Proto Anime Cut, was looking at anime more broadly. But in the process of researching for that project, he came upon the back storage units of these Japanese anime production studios and found boxes upon boxes with thousands and thousands of these beautiful hand-painted anime cells. And an anime cell refers to, like, you know, in a film, you'll have a film still. In anime, they're just made up of a film, a second of film is made up of potentially 100 of layers of film cells, and they're transparent layers of acetate film, painted and possibly layered with other medium as well. But these tiny, very thin and very detailed drawings make up very small segments of film content. And Stefan came upon like these boxes, and they were the background boxes. And typically, anime researchers and fans of anime tend to care a lot about characters and a lot about the narratives and, you know, perhaps the philosophy in the anime that they're thinking about. And perhaps the backgrounds of these of these works are easily overlooked because, it's, I guess, conceptually as well as materially. And he found these drawings really, really interesting and compelling, and started thinking about the world building role of these background paintings. And that's what started a fascination with this content. And he was actually preparing the exhibition materials for this show for over 5 years, because not only was he faced with, dealing with Japanese production studios and distributors can be a very lengthy process, but he was also faced with the challenge of trying to convince the artists that painted these anime cells, that these backgrounds were worthy of exhibition. An outsider's perspective, we look at these beautiful paintings and we think they're fascinating, but for the actual animator, they're seen as, you know, potentially really scrappy works that are only deserving of, you know, being in the director's final artwork. So just conceptualizing the individual cell, the individual painting as an art object was a big hurdle for the artists. So he was a curator trying to explain to them, with Japanese as his second language or with the help of an interpreter, that this was the content that people in Germany would be interested in seeing. And, a lot of these drawings have handwritten notes and cigarette stains, and they've been in the studio for, you know, decades. And he's breathed new life into them by pulling them out of storage, telling their story, translating those interesting handwritten notes from the director to the art director or to the painter, and has framed them as their own subject matter. So, he was in the studios working with and looking at the films, including Ghost in the Shell, Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, Pat Labor the movie, and the Metropolis movie, which is based on the Tezuka manga. So these are extremely iconic, all sci-fi anime. And he managed to bridge together this story, looking at the worlds behind the stories as its own subject matter.
For sure. That's crazy to even hear that the artists were, you know, questioning their own, the worth of their own work if they've, spent so much time on the background.
Yeah.
And it is the world. I guess you see it, and they see it as the full picture, but of course.
Yeah, they find it hard to separate the background drawing from the finished product, because what they see their role as is potentially quite minor. But that's why it's really fascinating to see such detailed works pulled out of a picture. There's a part of the exhibition which is really interesting. We have, just a monitor displaying short segments of footage of the animations themselves. And then you can turn to the left and see the background drawing in that animation cell. And you'll notice as a viewer, you'll naturally, your eyes will be attracted to looking at the character in the frame, and you'll be really engrossed by the music or whatever's taking place in the scene. But when you're trying to focus on the background drawings, you can see just how profound their impact is on the overall experience of that film.
Mm. Mm, it's like a subconscious, you don't even realize.
Not at all, yeah.
So are these kind of designs very reflective of the actual, you know, Japanese world and Japanese buildings, you know, from the economic boom, are they kind of more like, how much creative freedom do they get? Do they design, what's the ratio?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, as I mentioned, we're talking about sci-fi anime, right? Mm. So when you think of sci-fi worlds, I guess in a Western context, you're more likely to think of those cool 80s illustration covers with the really bulgy buildings and things like that,
sure,
made out of glass.
Sure.
But interestingly, a lot of these animated films, they're the early animated films. So what was futuristic in their period in the late 80s and 90s, even up to 2004 for Ghost in the Shell, is a little different to what the 1970s, you know, or 80s aesthetic was from an American or a European perspective. So the exhibition actually traces the world building process to the start, to its origins, with the director appointing a scout locator, scout location director, and that location scout, I've got it backwards, sorry. Everyone listening is probably like, flip it. The location scout director.
Same thing.
was going to physical built environments, taking photographs to inform the process and development of the architectural environments, which is a really interesting idea that these were grounded in physical architectural spaces. They weren't completely fantasy. And the places that they visited, super interesting. They're in Japan. We conceptualize Japan as this peak of, you know, a little 10 years in the future ahead of us. However, they looked to Hong Kong and Shanghai, and they were looking at these really dense metropolises with a lot of these films, actually, all four of them. Yes, they all four, all four films do have a dystopian theme and a little bit of a cyberpunk edge at times. But all four looked to nearby Asian, especially Chinese, metropolises to inspire the architecture of their own worlds. And you'll see in some of the drawings there are traditional Japanese architectural features, especially in the outskirts of the city. You'll get the old town, the Shitomachi, which is like the old wooden buildings. And those spaces tend to have a little bit of dilapidation with the background being this futuristic, distant space. So there are moments where traditional Japanese architecture creeps in, but overwhelmingly it's really fascinating to see China as a source of inspiration in the development of those worlds.
For sure. And so, having like now turning to the Japanese Foundation, you've kind of sourced out these projects, or in the hopes of what do you hope these projects will kind of translate to other people, like in the Western world? Do you hope that you'll kind of bridge that gap, or people,
Will
get more excited?
Well, I guess with this exhibition, it's a really good example in that, you know, we reached out to the curator. This exhibition actually premiered in Berlin at the Museum for Architectural Illustration. Such a specific museum, but what a good one, right? And then it toured to the House of Illustration in London. So in those two prior iterations, it definitely had a focus as being a show about architecture. However, in our space, you know, we're the Japan Foundation Gallery and we're looking more broadly at just Japanese culture and art. So I guess our focus has been more on just delivering Japanese pop culture to Sydney audiences and trying to share the story with a little bit more depth than you might have without this kind of narrative behind it. But in general, we try and program content that has a diverse range across Japanese culture and looking at not only pop culture, because there was a recent Japanese pop culture convention called Smash a few weekends back. And so each year we try and coincide a pop culture program with that period. to highlight that content, because we know Japanese pop culture is so ubiquitous in Sydney and Australia now too. But we also look at, you know, more traditional Japanese art practices. Earlier in the year, we did some ikebana, and actually our next show will be looking at Japanese textile practice, which has a really long, important history, particularly looking at indigo dye tradition. And in that exhibition, it's called The Intuitive Thread, we'll be showing four contemporary Japanese textile artists' work. They each use traditional production methods, so all handmade, much like the animation architecture drawing show. It's actually a lot of animation now is digital, but this show is all looking at this hand-illustrated, hand-painted work. So I'm kind of glad that there's a little bit of a continuation of that handmade, like custom bespoke depth to the work. So the next show will, yeah, definitely focus on the handmade again. And we're really excited to see the work of four. Actually, they're all female artists as well, so that's really beautiful. Mm. And the curator is, coincidentally, UTS lecturer Eloise Rapp. So there's a nice connection with the station there. Eloise, she's been in Kyoto for the past year researching Japanese textiles and doing some amazing work. So we're really excited to welcome her back to Sydney with her first solo curated show at the Japan Foundation Gallery, featuring four contemporary practitioners.
Perfect. Lots to look forward to. And what other exhibitions did you have coming up? I think you were mentioning another one of the movies, the anime.
So we've got some, we do a lot of events as well to accompany our exhibition program. So yeah, it's a big one. It's going to be a doozy. We've got the art director from Ghost in the Shell, Hiromasa Ogura, coming. He's going to be doing a masterclass workshop for a very lucky group of professional and high level student animators. So that's coming up. And he'll also be doing a really interesting In Conversation talk event that's held at our premises in Central Park on Wednesday, the 1st of August. Hiromasa Ogura, the art director for Ghost in the Shell, will be in conversation with Philip Brophy. Philip's an amazing Australian filmmaker, artist, musician, does a bit of everything. Knows a lot about anime culture and Japanese pop culture broadly. So we're really looking forward to that conversation, because we'll have a researcher, but also an artist, interviewing and bringing out the narratives of someone who's been in the Japanese anime industry for, gosh, I think it's 40 years, 40 years
wow.
in the anime industry.
That's a long time.
Yeah, he's really seen a huge transformation period. That should be fascinating. We're hoping, please check out our website for more details on that one, because it will be very busy, but there might be an opportunity to catch it online at the same time, we hope.
Perfect. Well, heaps to see. Thank you for joining us on the show, Alison.
Yeah, thanks.
Really great.
Yeah, please come by and see the show. We wrap up on the 11th of August, so we're in our last couple of weeks. So
perfect.
It's free.
Great.
Central Park.
Head on
nice
down.
And easy.
Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.